Luke chapter number 4, verse 23 and verse 24. Chapter number 4, book of Luke chapter number 4. You guys finding it? If you go to the index. Anybody found it so you can tell what page number? What page number are you on? 490. They all have the same Bible. All right, you guys. Okay. Chapter number 4, verse 23 and verse 24. Notice what it says. It says, "He said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask tonight that you might work in our hearts. Teach us, oh God, I pray you teach us valuable truth and that we would be receptive of it. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. As we look here, we notice that it says in verse number 23, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb." This proverb. That's an interesting word because that word is translated from a Greek word. Listen to the Greek word, paraboli. What's that sound like? Paraboli. Parable. Normally, out of the 50 times that word is used, 46 of them you will find it translated parable. On one occasion, it's proper, it's translated proverb, and it's right here. And so the Lord is telling us here that this is basically a parable, a proverb. And we will stop at a moment here and think about what a parable is. Jesus taught us much by parables. And we find that the use of parables was really prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. The Lord said in Matthew 13, it says that he might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world." Why did the Lord use parables? Well, I think it becomes obvious when we stop and think about what does that word mean? What is a parable? Interesting word. You're not going to find it in the world normally. You're not going to find the word proverb normally. But when you come to church, you come to the Word of God, you're going to find these words. What's it mean? It means basically a place beside in way of comparison. To place beside in way of comparison. You two guys, stand up. You're not in trouble. Stand up. You might be in a moment. I don't know. I hope not. We're going to place these two guys beside in comparison. Stand up straight. All right, who's the tallest? What's his name? Houston? I'm sorry. I've got Summer's name for some reason. Next week I'll mess it up. All right. Houston is the tallest. Okay. I was going to say which one's the best looking, but that's an opinion. We don't need all the opinions. All right. And what's your name? Brandon. Okay. What do we see alike with these? They're both guys, right? But there's differences, aren't there? From the backside, what do you all see that's different besides height? Clothing. Have different color clothing on. Okay. Is their posture a little bit different? A little bit. All right. They're very similar, but they're a little different. All right. So what is a parable? You're putting two things beside each other and you are comparing. You can sit down. We're making comparisons. So when the Lord gives us parables, it has given us something to compare to so we can better understand it. Okay? It makes more sense. Now, most kids do not like story problems in math. You do? Most students I found hate story problems. But story problems teach you how to use math. They're teaching you to make it in an applicable or an application format. And so you're having this math, you're comparing it to a real life situation and making it go. So Summer has 5 apples and Houston has 4 apples. And so how many apples does Houston and Summer have together? Yeah, and what do? We made a comparison, we put them together, and we made a... All right, we solved a problem. So the Lord gives us these parables, things that are next to each other to help us to understand. Parables are given basically in 3 different ways. The most popular we find the Word of God is through stories. That is not our case here tonight. Also, we might call them sayings. That is what we're looking at tonight. These are 2 sayings that we're looking at tonight. The first saying is, physician, heal thyself. These were popular sayings of the day. And the other one is, no prophet is accepted in his own country. That was also an understood saying of the day. And then the other way are similitudes, are similarities. Because of the differences of opinions on parables, we find that depending on who you read, as to how many you're going to find in the Word of God. There are, in some cases, people who believe there's up to 90, and some who are only going to agree on maybe 25 or 26 of them. But there are many, many parables in the Word of God. And we're going to look at tonight what I believe and what others believe are the first 2 parables given by our Lord. And they're very much together, and I want us to look at them together because of that. Because of these proverbs were in general use at the time of our Lord, He wants them to know that from these parables there's something that they need to gain and understand. Now listen very carefully. I believe what God wants them to understand at this particular time in regards to the Lord Jesus Christ, but also in regards to His ministers, is to give them respect. Now let me ask you, Houston, since I got your name down pat for a few moments, if you are a minister of the gospel, would you not want, if you were staying in my place, for people here to show you respect? Okay? If you were standing here, and Tony, and you were speaking, wouldn't you want this group of folks to give you respect? His name's Tony. Yes, we would want that. We would not want people to disrespect. The Lord Jesus had people who disrespected Him. We find that from the content of this Scripture. We've not read it, but it is there. And so He speaks this basically to let them know they need to learn to respect, especially the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in His hometown of Nazareth. And it is here that He has just spoken in the synagogue. And yet we find, if you go back to verse number 28, notice what it says, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath." They didn't like what He said. And sometimes that happens. Listen, if I have to get on your case, you're not going to like what I say. Like, sit up. You know? And sometimes we don't like that. Okay? We don't like folks to tell us we're wrong. Do you like folks tell you you're wrong? No, we don't. We don't want people telling us we're wrong. We get agitated with it. It doesn't matter if you're 16 or 66. It really doesn't matter. We don't like, you like being told you're wrong. We don't. But we need to be. Okay? Afterwards, we can appreciate it, but we still don't like it. And so we find here they were filled with wrath. It says in verse 29, "They rose up and thrust Him out of the city and led Him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast Him down headlong." Do you get the picture in your mind? Here's a large hill. They're taking Him out. Evidently an embankment. They're just going to throw Him over the edge. Maybe they're hoping to kill Him. They're going to push Him over the edge. Of course, we find the Lord Jesus miraculously. It says in verse 30, but He passing through the midst of them went His way. I don't know how He did that. It does not say. But they did not like Him. He's in His hometown. The crowd had gathered. They're hostile to Him. And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ then is trying to teach them something, and they do not want to listen. He's told them, listen, you are going to want Me to do this. You're going to want Me to bring healing here to this to these people. Notice you go back to verse, where are we at? Verse number 18. In verse number 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon Me because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captive, and recovering of the sight to the blind. Now, He had done some of this already in other places. But now He's in His hometown, and He has spoken to them, and He tells them, you're going to use this proverb against Me. Physician, heal yourself. You're going to want Me, basically, to perform in front of you. And then He tells them, but a prophet's without honor in his own country. So let's notice something here. This message of this parable is really quite unique. This parable is telling us that we need to fulfill our responsibility. Notice what it says, physician, heal thyself. They're going to bring that against Him. Is there anything wrong with that parable? It is a good parable. Physician, heal thyself. It is saying what you are going to try to tell others to do, you ought to be doing yourself. If you go to a doctor and he's saying to you, you ought to lose some weight, and you look at him and you know he tips the scale about 550, what are you going to think? You're going to think he's a candidate for the Biggest Loser. Why is he telling me what to do? Okay? And so we need to be what? Practitioners of what we preach. What do we have a common saying today? Practice what you preach. Okay? The message is good. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he said this, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? What's he saying? We need to practice what we preach. And so those who proclaim the gospel must what? Embrace it. It must be very real to them. And the Lord is saying to them, you're going to say to Me, I need to do that. But He's going to try to teach them He is doing that. And that they have misused this or are going to misuse it against Him. Notice what He says, whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. What are they after? They're after the Lord Jesus to do the miraculous before them. But there's something that's very unusual about this, and that is they did not believe Him. Matter of fact, He could not work in His hometown because they did not believe Him. Because of their lack of respect for a hometown man, they would not, or they would be willing to misuse this parable against Him. When I came to Council Bluffs, Iowa, like you, I was born and raised here. Well, I was raised part of the time here. I was born in Mercy Hospital, the old hospital. It's not there. If you drive by, it's an open space. You look up about three stories into the air. I was born up there. It's actually in a different location than when I was a little kid. And we were farmers. Until I was 8 years old, we lived on a farm. We moved to Council Bluffs in 1954, and I've lived in this town most of my life since, except for 6 years. When God laid upon my heart to come here to start a church, this verse was troublesome to me. as I looked at it, a prophet is without honor except in his own country. And I almost did not come because of that. And there be some truth. It was difficult to establish respect with some peoples. And it took much longer as a result of that. But the Lord is trying to teach these folks something, and that is, you are from some hometown somewhere. Their familiarity caused them contempt. Basically, they were jealous. And because they knew his parents, because they knew from whence he came, they weren't going to accept him. However, they should have, because they had seen him in action for nearly 28 years. They had seen a man grow from a child in the manhood who was perfect in all of his ways. They had seen nothing better ever come out of their city. Nothing anywhere near it. And yet, they did not have respect for him. And we find that he came. They knew him as a healer in some places. He talks about it in Scripture as he's speaking to them. And we find that they get agitated with him. They want to kill him. We find it at Nazareth. But I want you to think about this also. The Bible says that he came into his own, and his own what? Received him not. At the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that his countrymen turned against him. Listen what they said to him there. He saved others, himself he cannot save. And so that contempt continued. These two parables that he spoke were parables that they used or misused against him, seeking to malign him. But this is nothing different than we've discovered throughout the Word of God. Now stay with me, because there's some teaching I want us to get out of this whole thing. As the prophets of old, those familiar with them did not often accept them. Jeremiah is considered one of the great prophets of old. And yet we read this in chapter 11. It says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that they seek thy life, saying, Prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand." They didn't like him. He was thrown in prison. He was threatened horribly. Most of the prophets were. It was not an unusual, it's not an unusual thing for God's people to be maligned by others. My goodness, all we got to do is go back to the beginning. We find what? Two brothers. One has a testimony with the God, and the other one hates him and kills him because of it. Joseph was sold by his brothers. Consider that. David was scorned by his brother. David went to the battle where Goliath was at, and his brother scorned him for being there. Come the more modern era. Who discovered America? What was his name? Depends on what history book you read. Christopher Columbus. Columbus, when he told what he was going to do in his hometown of Genoa, Italy, they laughed him out of town. The Italians did not bankroll Columbus to come to America. They wouldn't listen to him. The hometown boy, they thought he was nuts. The world being round. Why, we today would think anybody that was nuts who thought it was flat. By the way, do you know that there is a flat earth society? There's a group of people who believe the earth is flat. Still. I'd like to take them to camp with me, and they could find out it's not very flat out there. But we find this is over and over. And the people of Israel, when Jesus came, did, and they still do, reject Him. Now let's stop and think tonight. What can we learn from that? I believe there's some lessons we ought to learn from that. In our society, who gets a lot of honor? Who do we get all excited about? What groups of people could we just... I mean, we say, my goodness. And they get paid millions of dollars. Celebrities. It's a big word that covers a lot of things. Some of them, all they do is play with a ball. Whether it be this big, or it's oblong, or it's this little round flat thing they hit with sticks. Okay? And people idolize them. Their names are on our shirts. There's groups of people that are singers and so-called movie stars. Many of whom are, as can I use this phrase, as dumb as a box of rocks. I can. It's true. And yet, these people, we lift them up in our thoughts. We think, my goodness, and we get all excited about it. We look at people like Donald Trump. We think, oh my goodness, millions of dollars. And we think, these people are wonderful and we ought to respect them highly. And yet, what happens? Those who are proclaiming the gospel many times don't get respect. Missionary has been in this church down in Peru. We do not support him. Has had tribesmen down there want to kill him. Why? Simply because he wants to tell them about Jesus. Okay. 2 weeks ago, a missionary couple in Mexico were killed in their home. They believe by drug cartel, but simply because for nearly 30 years they've been telling people about Jesus. No respect. The Bushes, a family that we support in, I want to say Argentina. Are they in Argentina? Came home from church to find robbers in their house and barely escaped with their own lives. What are they there for? But no respect. And we have very little respect for those who are preaching the gospel. And I'm going to tell you a very, very heart-wrenching thought. There are pastors all over this country who have preached their hearts out to their people. Some of them are famous with other folks. But people in their own church could care less. Some of you would say, boy, he's a real man of God. But there are folks who sit in their churches who do not respect him. And that is a problem that we have. We need to learn to respect those who are what? Given us the Word of God. Our Sunday school teachers. I don't care who it is. Let me give you another thought. If you are rejected in one place, the Lord said, wipe the dust off of your feet and go somewhere else. another thought. Don't despair because of results. If you are ministering to people, if you are doing that, because there's not results, listen, Jesus was dealing with these people, and what was the result? They wanted to throw him over the hill. It wasn't his fault. The problem was those who were listening. And their rejection display their character. Listen, how you act when the man of God's preaching shows your character. It's revealed. And many folks, it means little. And it shows a lack of character and a lack of concern in our hearts. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, but you got a question, I'll take it.